Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, I've got my coffee ready to go. We had talked about this topic yesterday on my show, and that was the Russian missiles that are supposed to be brought into Syria, apparently to defend Russia, that Russian forces that are there, but perhaps Syria as well. There have been missile attacks on Iranian bases in Syria, et cetera, et cetera, and the news never stops here, even though I covered this yesterday with my guest. Again, last night, missiles were fired towards a Syrian military base. Loud explosions were heard on Sunday evening in the Hama region of Syria. The state media reported that the explosions took place at a base near the airport. I'm going to read you more about that as the show goes on. People were killed there. People, meaning most likely they were Iranian soldiers. Who shot these missiles? As of now, no one has taken responsibility for that. Let's think, who could it be? Let's think who's building bases there when the Prime Minister of Israel told him Israel cannot tolerate Iranian military presence in Syria. Iran, which is a regime that has threatened the annihilation of Israel, the destruction of Israel. So how can we tolerate that? So was it Israel? Were we the ones who fired these missiles? How long will we be able to do this without dangerous repercussions when these S-300 missiles from Russia come in? So we're going to be speaking with a guest about that today, also about the North-South Korean peace talks. Can we trust Kim Jong-un? That's my question. And you can feel free to call into the show anytime you like as well. This is a live show. Join me in the chat room as well. You can write your questions there. If I have a chance, I will try to read them out over the air. But call in. This is a live show, and our numbers are on our homepage. So all this is coming up. I want to say hi to people who are listening in from all over the world, from all over the United States, Canada, Israel, Australia, New Zealand, France, Cyprus, the Philippines. Welcome everybody to the show. Invite your friends. It's going to be a hot, hot show because this is right over Israel's northeastern border. What's going on there? And we have to be careful. We'll be right back.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
So missiles were fired towards a Syrian military base Sunday night. 40 people are reported by Sky News' Arabic language service. 40 people, they report, were killed in the explosions, with 60 injured. Now, I and you and no one really knows who did this, but I can say if Israel did it, then Iran should heed the warnings of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and know that Israel cannot tolerate having Iranian military presence so close to Israel. Iran has called for the destruction of Israel, and it is a serious threat not only to Israel, but to the world. So we are looking at a very hot spot here right now, just over Israel's borders in the northeastern part of Israel. We've got a major player, Russia there, Iran coming in, Syria, which is in is in the midst of dissolvement, but being swallowed by other bigger entities. What does all of this mean? Our guest is Aaron Braunstein. He is a former U.S. Foreign Service officer. He's worked in Washington, Egypt, Tunisia, and Muslim West Africa for 30 years as part of the United States Foreign Service. Today, he heads the Jewish Covenant Alliance, and you can visit his website at www.covenantalliance.org. Welcome to the show, Aaron Braunstein.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on with you and to realize that the kinds of subjects you raised in our last conversation are as hot this morning, even hotter this morning than they were when you first raised them.
Well, remind me, because I honestly don't remember what I said.
Yes, well, the threat of Syria, not just to Israel, but to the whole world, in conjunction with Russia, and Russia to encircle the southern Europe through the Mediterranean, the threat to Lebanon, and on, with Israel, as I mentioned, as Israel as the only guarantor, not protector, but guarantor of the sovereignty of countries like Jordan and Lebanon, etc., and the Iranians going for a major power play to establish huge bases and supplies in Syria for an eventual joint attack on Israel by Hezbollah out of Lebanon and Hamas out of Gaza. So here we are again with breaking news.
All right. So tell us, this is what I would like you to do. A lot of people are scratching their heads saying, well, if Israel did it or whoever did it, why don't they just admit it? Tell people why Israel would not admit it if we did it.
As I understand it from the latest news, the weapons that Israel, the explosive missiles that Israel would have used if Israel were the one that did this, were deep penetration bombs. So we know that the Iranians are going for the long haul and placing their supplies deep underground with the hope that they would be secure there for eventual use in the future, whether for a play against, probably a play in Lebanon and against Lebanon, to go one stage at a time. Prime Minister Netanyahu, Foreign Minister Lieberman have all declared that whatever the cost, Israel is not going to allow Iran to establish military capabilities. And those capabilities are growing in Syria. The hope is that the message will ring loud and clear. And also, as we discussed the last time, if the Iranians or the Syrians declare it were Israel, then they would expect, in order to save face, to have to respond.
Right.
This way, by not saying it's Israel, even if it was, the Syrian, the Assad regime, and the Ayatollahs in Iran, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, can bide their time and figure out what would be an appropriate response. There probably will be a response, but it could be anywhere in the world. In order not to have a major flare-up now before the Iranians are ready. That's a key element.
And I would imagine that any attacks that are done now are done purposely before Russia brings in those missiles, those defense missiles.
Absolutely, the S-300.
Right.
There are different views on those missiles specifically. There are some commentators saying that they're not really state-of-the-art. And Israel already has been studying the capabilities of those missiles, although it does provide an additional threat. There seems to be, through the Israeli government, some effort to calm people down and not say that this is Armageddon right at our doorstep with the S-300. But however that works out, it is an escalation. And the Iranians, I shouldn't say the Iranians, the Persian Ayatollahs and the Persian Revolutionary Guard that control Iran, that's a whole other topic we've talked about before, are not stupid and are playing a major geopolitical, geo-military political game here, also using ethnic cleansing and genocide against the Sunnis of Syria. It's quite understandable that they would not immediately accuse Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really fascinating. And so how worried do Israelis need to be, and how worried does the rest of the world have to be?
Well, it's really a major game of chess, you know, shachmat. The king is dead, originally evolved out of Iran. Where it came from originally, we're not sure. But Iran is very adept at chess and how to move their pieces. It's really a chessboard in the whole northern part of the Middle East. The entire Fertile Crescent would be a better term. Iraq, Syria, into Lebanon, and then the hope is to connect up and either destroy or intimidate Israel. But Israel is also playing at that game and has a good number of cards, a good number of pawns that it can move forward.
Okay, and so are we going to keep waking up to news like this, where bases were attacked? I mean, how many bases are there in Syria that Israel cannot tolerate? And what do you see happening?
Well, actually, from one report this morning, the attack was on two bases that are major staging areas and weapons depot for the Iranians, for the Revolutionary Guard. This whole effort is, by the way, being run by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, straight out of Tehran and under the direct orders of the Ayatollahs. The Ayatollah's Praetorian Guard, protecting the palace. If you go back to ancient Roman history, you can see exactly how this plays out.
Are you still with me, Aaron?
Yes.
Okay. I just thought maybe you fell. All right. So I just want to ask you this, because if Israel is the one, and of course it could be the United States, they've got warships in the area as well. Could be that Donald Trump saying, listen, don't worry, Bibi, we're going to take care of it, because we cannot tolerate Iran doing this either. It's not just your problem. We admit it's everyone's problem, and I'm not afraid of them. They can't bully me, Donald Trump. It could be that those ships are doing it as well. We don't know. But in other words, how long can this go on until something bigger erupts? Remember, we've got major players. We've got the Iranian quote-unquote empire swallowing up all over the Middle East, swallowing up the Middle East. You have Russia that's got its tentacles in there and doesn't want to move because they want the ports over there. They want access.
Right.
And you've got the United States. You've got Turkey, which is a NATO country but is leaning towards Russia and Iran and Syria against the Kurds, which are wanting to be a free democratic country, etc. So this is a major thing happening.
Well, very, very true. I think the effort now is to persuade the Assad regime and the Iranians and the Russians that they can have that the Russians and the Assad regime can pretty much have what they want if they get the Iranians out of the equation. And that, in fact, the Iranians being in Syria is really for the Russians and for the Assad regime becoming more and more of a liability. It's true that they have their Shia fanatics, including Arabs, the Hezbollah, fighting and engaged in an ethnic cleansing against other Arabs.
Okay, hold that thought, Aaron, because the music is on. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Surely.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we are speaking with our guest, Aaron Bronstein. He is a former U.S. Foreign Service officer, and he's talking about what is happening in Syria. As the news reports say, Sunday night, missiles were fired at a military target, military targets in Aleppo and Hama. But we have no further details other than a report saying that Sky News' Arabic language service reported that more than 40 people were killed in the explosions and 60 were injured. Most likely these were soldiers and military personnel. We're speaking with Aaron to find out exactly how hot is this and how do we have to worry about it. So why don't you finish up what you were saying in the last segment, and then we'll jump to what's happening with the North and South Korean talks.
Yes, indeed. I think with regard to Syria, the real issue is what will it take to persuade the Russians and the Assad regime that they can solidify their hold on Syria as far as Israel is concerned by persuading the Iranians that the Revolutionary Guard and the Ayatollahs persuading them that they're just causing more problems for the Assad regime and than they are solving. And in fact, you know, more and more people are coming to realize that under the guise of a major struggle of radical Shiism against radical Sunni populations, that the Persians, the evil Persian Ayatollahs, are not, in effect, using Arabs to kill other Arabs and be killed in return through the Hezbollah, who are Arab, through the Houthi, who are Arab, through all the other ethnic groups, Shia, extreme Shia, that are being brought in. And Assad, in fact, has reduced the Sunni percentage of the population enormously, both by the killing, by actual genocide, and by the millions that are now refugees, mm-hmm. whether internally or externally, that mm-hmm. the Alawite minority population may now be, instead of 10%, may now, in fact, be 30-40%.
Hmm. Interesting.
And, you know.
And again, we just want to remind everybody that the Assad family are Alawites.
Exactly. Okay. And the Alawites have controlled Syria under the Ba'ath, under the guise of the Ba'ath Party,
right.
Revolutionary Arab Party.
For decades. Yeah, his father before. Right, his father before him. So let's turn our eyes now towards what's happening in the news with North and South Korea. So my question to you is, because they're talking about denuclearizing North Korea and that's going to, and they're going to make peace and the war is over and it all sounds nice. Although I'm very suspicious of dictators, especially ones that are erratic, like we see with Kim Jong-un. So my question is a denuclearized North Korea the final answer to the problem? Is it going to solve all the threats and tension in the region? And can we trust Kim Jong-un?
Well, on two levels, you're right on target here. Based on past experience, one shouldn't trust Kim Jong-un. He has proven a most vicious dictator and ready to violate any agreement that he signed. But this time he may go ahead with it, because if he can persuade and has South Korea and America persuaded that the beginning and end of the issue is denuclearizing North Korea, then he may lead many people to forget that North Korea has a conventional army of upwards towards 1 million men, and that, say, all the capital of South Korea is almost a walking distance from the demilitarized zone, from the border between the two Koreas. Mm-hmm. So the issue is going to come down to what the North Koreans want in exchange, what Kim Jong-un wants in exchange for removing all his weapons. And to the extent that he can keep America and South Korea focused on believe but verify, as trust but verify, as President Reagan said, vis-a-vis the Soviets, to the extent he can get the focus on that and can prove to the West that, in fact, North Korea is effectively demilitarized, then the question becomes, what about the 30,000 American troops in South Korea? He wants them gone. And where could they position, in ships with nuclear capability off the shores of North Korea? Well, I don't think the North Koreans are going to accept that either. And if they get the Americans' troops out of South Korea, if they get the American troops off to Japan, then the real question will be, and North Korea as denuclearized, then we have what I'm calling a denuclearization threat. Not a nuclearization threat, but a denuclearization threat. If the North Korean dictator moves his entire army in one frontal assault, and the military experts realize that it can only be stopped by use of tactical nuclear weapons — we're not talking about blowing up half a country — by tactical nuclear weapons, is the United States going to use tactical nuclear weapons when North Korea has denuclearized? That's a very big question.
So let me clarify this. So are you saying that he can use this all as a guy saying, yes, we're going to stop our nuclear program there, and in the meantime, he makes quote unquote peace with South Korea. Families are reunited. They can go back and forth over the border. The restrictions are eased. And then with his million man army, he, instead of using nuclear weapons, he just marches them straight into South Korea and takes over with regular weaponry that's accepted in warfare today.
Yes, exactly. And that's what the danger is of the entire peace offensive that's going on now. We had peace offensives in the 1920s, and we saw that it led to the remilitarization of Nazi Germany. But not to compare. The issue will be on where will the American deterrence be located? Will it leave South Korea? On what stages? And can as part of a total package. Everybody's talking now about total package with regard to Iran. Let's have total package with regard to the Korean Peninsula. There has to be a disarmament, whether fast or slow, of both Koreas to the point where the effectiveness of a sudden attack by North Korea will be very problematic for the regime.
They but who's going to agree to that? Why would any nation want to disarm itself?
Well, that's where the whole thing may collapse. And but if the West is not clear when the deal maker, President Trump, you know, looking, he's also played into this by saying, wow, we may have the not the deal of the century, but here the deal of the millennium. And he hasn't used those words, but the drive to have a deal and be intimidated from actually getting up and walking away from the table when everything can be verified. And in fact, North Korea will be denuclearized. That's when the negotiation problem doesn't end, but starts. The real issue has to be disarmament and how to do it in terms of phase out of Western presence in the sea between Korea and Japan, nuclear weapons in Japan. Maybe there'll be a peace offensive to remove all nuclear weapons from Japan. There's a lot of support for that among the Japanese people. Then where will, and if these weapons, if nuclear tactical weapons are removed far enough from the theater, from the field, then the United States attacking North Korean forces who are halfway across South Korea by the time anyone thinks about it is going to be very problematic. And the issue is, will the North Korea dictator grab the opportunity and say, okay, it's 50-50. Maybe the Americans are going to strike from their ships and from Japan with tactical nuclear weapons, but if they do that, number one, they're going to be hitting South Korean areas because the North Korean army will already be in South Korea when this takes place. So that's what everybody has to open up their eyes and be very, very careful about. We may be facing a denuclearization threat. I can't say it often enough. A denuclearization
threat. We're going to a break, yes. But...
And therefore, to have a package deal, the Trump administration wants a package deal vis-a-vis Iran against all their aggressive maneuvering in the Middle East and beyond.
Okay, Aaron, hold it right there. Sorry. Stay on the line with me, Aaron. Don't go. I want to keep you on for the next part as well. I have a big question to ask you. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Right, we are back here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I'm Tamar Yonah, and we are talking about the threats of huge military powers threatening the free world, threatening good people of the world. And we've got the bullies and we've got the good guys. And I know a lot of people, it depends what perspective you have. But if you're taking the line of the Bible and what God wants for people and goodness and kindness and freedom and bringing light into the world, then you're on, in my opinion, you're on our side. And so my question to you, our guest, Aaron Bronstein, is you were talking about North Korea and how they're making these peace initiatives to South Korea now, and they're saying, well, maybe, you know, we are going to do denuclearize and then we can have peace, we can have more open borders, reunite families, et cetera, be more friendly. And you're saying that it's still a threat, that even if it doesn't have nuclear weapons, even if it doesn't kill you with a gun, it can kill you with a knife. And if it doesn't kill you with a knife, it can kill you with poison. So it doesn't mean that the threat is gone. So my question to you is, you were saying that, so maybe what they can do is they can both demilitarize so they both feel safer. But I'm saying, why should the good guys demilitarize before there's peace and stability? A strong country has less of a chance to be attacked. A weak country almost invites an invasion from the hungry despots of the world. Our job, or the good guys' moral responsibility, is to not tolerate evil and to rid the world of evil. We can't just contain evil, because evil eventually spreads, and this will always be a sore, and you can't just put a Band-Aid over a sore. You have to take care of that sore and heal it. So why should we demilitarize? And when I say we, I'm talking about South Korea, I'm talking about the people on our side, right? When there's not peace yet, when there's no stability yet, when we can't trust Kim Jong-un yet, why?
A very, very good question, and thank you for raising the whole issue of evil in the world. That's one of the principal focus of our Jewish Covenant Alliance, as a Jewish and Israeli moral responsibility, not just to be a moral light to the nations, but to oppose such evil regimes that wish to impose a totalitarian ideology on the entire world. And that, in fact, brings us to the issue of what are the North Koreans going to continue to do vis-a-vis Syria and the eventual development, hoped for development by the Assad regime and Iran, of a nuclear Iran. Are the Koreans going to continue, the North Koreans going to continue to offshore their nuclear development, increasing their cooperation with Iran? A big question. And therefore, as we talked about in the first stage, there has to be a package deal of progressive removal of all of the aspects of conflict within the peninsula. If you see, you know, if the North Korean army is reduced, then somebody's going to have to put up a lot of money to give very fat pensions to all the generals in North Korea, which would be a very cheap way to go. Enough money to buy a nice villa and to be retired at an early age. It's very attractive. As long as they know that the regime for now is not going to be overthrown. But if this process continues, a package process, and removing the denuclearization threat, that means a possible North Korean invasion with only conventional forces, then there is hope for North Korea to be less evil. Let's remember that North Korea is not proposing a totalitarian ideology to conquer the whole world. They're ready to work with Iran to achieve that purpose for Iran, as long as they can have South Korea, and maybe even pay back Japan for all the murder that Imperial Japan caused to the Korean people over decades of imperial rule. One forgets that Japanese imperial rule started at the beginning of the last century, not with their invasion of China, with the Japanese invasion of China. So the hope is there that North Korea is not ruled by an evil regime in the sense that they want to conquer the world, and that therefore maybe they can be bought off progressively as part of a package deal. But to think that a denuclearized North Korea is the end of the problem, that's wishful thinking. It's only the beginning of the problem if there's no package deal.
You know, I think that you brought up something very interesting, and people are thinking, okay, so they'll take away their nuclear, you know, weapons program, and so then we're going to have peace. And you're saying that is not a guarantee whatsoever. And in fact, it could be a ploy in order to get their goal, which is to get South Korea. So that's very interesting what you said. But I want to propose something here. And
yes,
that
please.
Is that... especially for the Jewish people who were brought into the land of Israel, taken out of slavery in Egypt, to be brought to the promised land to receive the Torah, to bring light into the world, peace and service of mankind, and service of God, and being good to each other, to mankind, etc., to bring light and happiness and a good life, because that's what God wants. God created us not to see us kill each other. God created us because he wants us to bring the mundane up to holiness and take the holiness and bring it to the mundane that we have. He wants us to be a good world. We're his children. He loves the North Koreans. He loves the South Koreans. He loves the Israelis. He loves the Arabs. He loves the Americans and the French, and he loves everyone. We're all his children, but we've got to get our act together. And if we're going to go on our own ideas of what is right and what is tolerable, that's not necessarily hitting the mark. We have to go back to the Bible and know where is good and where is evil. And where there is evil, we can't tolerate it. And that's why it infuriates me, Aaron, when I see
yes.
what's going on the borders of Israel, where you've got the Hamas in Gaza that are constantly attacking us. But forget about Israel for a moment. They're constantly attacking their own citizens. Their own citizens don't have freedom. Their own press can't say things because of fear that they're going to be strung up and hung and have their bodies dragged through the streets and be alive. And these atrocities that are going on. And Israel's saying, well, you know, it's good. You know, we're a nice, you know, free society. Look at our people. We're prospering. We're growing. And we are. But... by tolerating this evil, and by the United States tolerating certain evils, and by even Russia, it's not the best country in the world, Russia, but they're more of a free market today. They're progressively getting better than what they were as the Soviet Union. And so these powers of the world to tolerate these pockets of evil that are growing because they are allowed to exist, in my eyes, Aaron, this is immoral, and it's going to be dangerous for the world, and that's why we're going to keep having wars, keep having to do bombings where people are killed in order to, quote-unquote, contain the evil, because we don't want to go in and eradicate it because of the price that needs to be paid, and people aren't willing to pay the price, or they're not able to at a certain time. So I'm just saying here, if the good guys, the white hats, would get together and in a united way saying, we are not going to tolerate regimes anymore who go against human rights, who are evil regimes, and we have to name those regimes and give them a chance to change, because we don't want to go to war, we don't want to kill people, and we don't want to have to go into other people's business. But if it's a danger to the world, if it's immoral, if it's evil, we have an obligation to do it. And if the world, the good guys, came together and said, you have until this time to get your acts together, Gaza citizens, get the Hamas out, or we're going to go in and do it, and we're going to put our government in there. Israel is prospering. Israel will take over Gaza again. For South Korea and North Korea. North Korea, your people are suffering. They're starving. They're this, they're that. They don't have the freedoms. If you don't get your act together, we're going to have South Korea going. It's going to be one big South Korea, but it won't be South anymore. It'll be all just Korea. And et cetera, et cetera. Don't you think that it's our moral obligation to put our foot down and not tolerate evil wherever it exists in the world anymore?
Yes, I think... that what you've said is at the moral and philosophical level is very important.
And what you only have 60 seconds. I'm really sorry, but 60 seconds.
Okay. What we try to do, what we are working at the Jewish Covenant Alliance in terms of Jewish mission to the world, not to proselytize anybody, but in order to wake the nations, wake the nations up to the threat of regime evil that wants to impose a radical, fanatical ideology on all of humanity. And that's not North Korea. A lot of evil regimes, but not evil regimes of this type. So therefore, the focus is Syria and the extent to which North Korea focuses Syria and even more so Iran. And the extent to which North Korea supported Iran, the threat today is threefold: Iran, Iran, and Iran. But the whole pot could blow off its lid if we don't approach the Korean Peninsula in the proper way. Then they go back and work with the Iranians to build nuclear weapons again, etc.
So perhaps a good start is in Syria to take care of that problem as well, where it's all going and North Korea is involved in Syria as well. All right, Aaron Bronstein, great to have you on the show. Really interesting stuff we talked about today and important stuff. Thank you for coming on. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
You're welcome. Please go to the website. Thank
you. Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Torres from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.